T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, it's WTIC. It's happily a Friday. We have a good time on Fridays like we do every day, but it's infused with a little extra excitement. Let's talk to Dave in Brantford. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Todd. On the debate last night, they tried to corner Biden about whether he is for or against fracking. But that just talks about exploring for fuel on the margins. An AOC-type economist has written a book, Marjorie Kelly, written a book called The Making of a Democratic Economy. And she used this kind of a language. In 2009, when Obama was in charge, the Federal Reserve conjured up, that was her word, conjured $700 billion to save the banks, because we couldn't let them die. She wants the Federal Reserve to be directed, get this, to conjure $700 billion to buy up 51% of the fossil fuel company's stock to save the planet. So we're not just talking about exploring for oil on the margins. We're talking about a kill shot to the head of the fossil fuel companies. That's Democrat economics for you.
Well, that's where they're coming from. You know, they want total control. They love socialism. They love total state control, big central power, because that way if they control the big central power, they control everything.
So I might add, we still have William Tong and Letitia James, Attorney General of Connecticut and New York, and the one from California, whose name I can't recall. They're going for a head-on takeout of the fossil companies to sue them to death for daring to produce the fossil fuel that we need to live. I don't want to go there.
That's how they roll. None of us do. Thank you, Dave. 860-522-9842. Morgan, New Britain. Hello, Morgan.
Hi, Todd. I've only been in the car a few minutes, but I heard just before the break, I heard someone talking about false negatives, I think, and on the COVID testing, and how it could be connected to a common cold. And my experience was kind of the reverse of that. About 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, I had some cold symptoms, but because I was interacting with a number of people at a sort of modest size event, I thought I should get a test done. And I got one of the rapid tests. I went to a facility in Southington and had one of the rapid turnaround tests.
Okay. Yep. What happened with that?
Pardon me?
You got a false positive on that?
Yeah, I got a false positive, and that was a Friday, and the following Monday.
What's your point about it? Because we've got very quick time left, so can you get right to the point so we can wrap it up?
The point is that one of the things that Joe Biden was emphasizing last night in his so-called plan for dealing with COVID-19 was he would insist that there be more rapid tests given. And it's really surprising. It really caught me off guard when I heard that, because it's widely known that the rapid tests have maybe something like 20 to 25% false positives. And
I don't think it's that high, but it is high. But that doesn't necessarily mean they don't have efficacy when used in large numbers to do screening. But yeah, for an individual, you get a positive and you've got a high chance. I think it's closer to 10%. But your point is valid nevertheless. Don't forget, it's rant line time, yes. And we're playing our rants from 860-751-4698. But we also take live phone calls during the hour. We mix them up together. We have a good time. Let's get the rants going.
It's howdy doody time in Connecticut again. Buffalo Bob, Governor Cuomo, is telling howdy doody Governor Lamont and Governor Murphy what to do. With COVID numbers rising, Buffalo Bob is exempting New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey residents from the travel advisory. Howdy doody didn't learn his lesson the first time when New York and Connecticut commuters brought COVID from New York to Connecticut faster than a speeding bullet. If you prefer, you can change the Buffalo Bob and Howdy Doody names to Claribel and Flubadub.
Well, listen, this is a really smart point, and I just want to emphasize it in case you didn't hear it. What he's saying is that Ned's new plan, you remember earlier in the week, Ned said he was going to get rid of the travel plan and revise it. And then the next day he said, no, never mind. I'm not going to revise it. I'm going to keep it the way it is, but I'm going to go into an agreement with New York and New Jersey that we share our vulnerabilities, and we don't ban people from any state in this consortium, in the three-state consortium. Now, this went over my head, the implication, and now this rant line call is pointing it out. The implication is that Ned is recreating the disastrous circumstances that led to the death of 2,500 seniors in nursing homes and assisted livings. More than half the deaths were caused by the spread of the disease into the state, presumably from the hard-hit New York City, down through the Amtrak corridor into the nursing homes, where Jolly Ned, being totally devoid of imagination and leadership skills, did nothing to protect the seniors, in fact, made decisions to make them more vulnerable. And now he's going back to that framework and saying, okay, now that we're looking at a resurgence of the virus, what do I want to do? I want to make sure that those people coming from New York to infect us have free travel while we restrict people from other less dangerous areas. Wow.
Hey, Todd, this is Eric. You had there was a new rapper in Hartford, Connecticut. I guess he's pretty hot. And he was on, I think, Monday or Tuesday on the rant line doing a little bit of a rap.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he's listening because I know people, we want to hear more. We want to hear more of what he has to rap about. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think he's called the Candy Rapper.
Hey, yo, Todd, this is the Candy Rapper, and I'm giving you my first play because you're the number one political guy in the USA. All right, here we go, Todd. Roses are red, Kamala ain't black. If you're voting for Biden, you're surely on crack. We need Trump back at 16 Penn, where he's going to reside again. 4 more years, we'll keep the Dems in tears. He's the macho man with a macho plan. Number 45, we have to keep him alive so we have money in our 401k for another day. He doesn't play. We can't let them take him away. This is why we love him. He's direct, not politically correct. Don't vote for Biden and the whole or our country won't grow. That's not the way our country needs to go. Trump needs us to fill the ballot box because those Dems are slippery as a fox. We need a red wave so our country won't cave. Biden is a clown that wants to shut the country down. What the heck? Trump's up against a stacked deck because the media's a wreck. Vote for Trump in this election because he'll give all legal Americans protection. If you vote for Biden, we'll be owned by China. Kamala is a big, see you next Tuesday, guys. Oh, no, here comes the 5-0, got to go. I hope I make it to my next show. I'm the Candy Rapper. Please tell them I didn't slap her. Thank you, Todd. Thank you.
Oh, that is the best rapper we've got doing rants, I'll tell you. That was excellent. 860-522-9842. Okay, WTIC, it's rant line time, but we also play calls. Line one is Mark Stewart. Hey, Mark.
How are you?
What's going on?
I am peeved about terminology. Mm-hmm. Qualified immunity riles so many people about what police have to protect them. But government officials that shut down our businesses, and as you said, put people in nursing homes when they shouldn't be to die, they have government immunity, and we can't do anything about it.
Mm.
If so, you pitch that to people who are otherwise riled about police immunity, maybe it finally gets us somewhere that the people that are hurt the most, too, are the progressives or the people they're supposedly looking out for, frontline workers, retailers. They're the ones who've been hurt the most. In this,
yeah, isn't it funny how it's funny how people don't make those connections?
And look who's gotten wealthy in this era of shutdowns. It's
what do you mean?
Business. Oh, mm-hmm. You do the statistics. The billionaire class has enriched itself by about 30% in the last 8 months, whereas almost everybody else, the numbers are down. We don't know how much, but clearly they're not making money in the last 8 months.
Yes, big business doing well, small business not so good.
And this is because of state governors. And it's not
absolutely
just
big government favors big business.
Governors who think they have the power to shut down our livelihoods.
All right, Mark Stewart, give us a website.
StewartForHartford.com. And I will be in Hartford greeting people every day next week at 2. We actually help people who haven't registered to vote. I'll be outside City Hall, actually the Hartford Library. If you haven't registered to vote, see me outside the Hartford Library, 1:30 to 3 o'clock every day next week. And then we turn on
really?
God. Absolutely.
That's awesome. All right. Thank you, Mark. Good to talk with you. Have a great weekend. 860-522-9842. Back to the rant line calls.
Hey, Todd, Leibowitz here. I'm calling about your request to callers to call in about their predictions referring to the election. I don't want to predict who's going to win. I want to make a prediction about your callers. If Biden wins, all the people who have been giving you a hard time about predicting Biden would win, they're not going to do a mea culpa. Instead, what they're going to do is call in and say how the election's rigged, there was voting fraud, absentee ballots, early voting, and all the rest. Because that's what people do. They make excuses instead of accepting responsibility for the predictions they've made. Ta-ta. Thank you, Todd. Have a good day.
Thank you, Leibs. Michael Leibowitz live from prison. Yeah, that ta-ta was something new and different, and it was kind of nice. So what Michael is saying is that that people who are stuck in an emotional mode, a tribalism, a team spirit, mode without allowing their intellects to be part of their rational minds to be part of the formulation of how the election should go are inclined to follow superstition, I think, is what he means, rather than logic. Anyway, that's what the rant line is for. It's for opinions.
Hi, Todd. This is Dave from Woodbury. It's howdy doody time in Connecticut again.
Yeah, didn't we?
Buffalo Bob, Governor Cuomo.
Didn't we play that already? Stop it, Dave. Once is enough.
Oh, and flub-a-dub.
Do you know what a jinx is? Well, you're trying to jinx President Trump. Every time you say it, you're making it so it might happen.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Nobody likes it. Just from the words of Oddball in the movie Kelly's Heroes, why don't you knock it off with all the negative waves, man?
Yeah, it's not. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm rooting for the president, desperately eager that the destroyers of the left don't take over the White House. But I also take a high-altitude view towards these things. My head's in politics all the time. I can't afford to be made crazy, and I don't think I don't think it creates any positive results. I look at the facts that I see coming in, I make the best assessment of what's going to happen. I don't sweat what's going to happen too much. I think the whole thing through and figure out what we have to do next. And if Trump loses, if Donald Trump loses the election, which is beyond a possibility right now, it's the most likely outcome, it seems to me. Hopefully I'm wrong. Then we've got to analyze the situation and figure out how we proceed. And you know what? What I'm wondering, is it better or worse if Joe Biden has control of the Senate? If Joe Biden controls Congress, say he can pass anything he wants, that puts him in a really difficult position. I see war breaking out on the left because you've got the rabid left, the AOCs, the anti-American crowd that drives the Democratic Party today. They're going to be yelling and screaming for more socialism, for more anti-Americanism. And Biden knows, and a lot of Democrats know, that that would be self-destructive, that if they go too far, too fast, they scare everybody, they start losing elections. Remember what happened to Barack Obama? 2010 midterm elections, he got shellacked. Why? Because he jammed through Obamacare. Joe Biden doesn't want that to happen to him.
This Thanksgiving, Hillary Clinton is going to be thankful to God that Chelsea never was a big crack smoker and that she never left laptop computers abandoned at repair shops.
Maybe.
Hey, Todd. Todd from Manchester.
Hello, Todd.
Lion Luke Bronin had his citywide Zoom meeting this past Saturday on the increase in gun violence. So in the past, state police have been brought in to handle an increase in gang violence, other types of things, drug dealings, whatever. But remember that Mayor Bronin and city officials cut the police budget in Hartford by $1 million. They see an escalation in gun violence, and then they bring in the state police force to the system. So that hasn't been done before. And Mayor Bronin was quick to dismay any doubts that, you know, the $1 million cut from the police budget had absolutely zero effect on what was transpiring within the city bounds. So whatever percentage that $1 million represents in the city budget, previous city budget, police budget, perhaps they could take the same percentage and administer the cuts to all the other departments. And he'll be able to say those cuts have had zero results too on affecting the community. Again, the state of Connecticut, all the other non-Hartford residents are bailing out Hartford again through this chicanery with saying they're cutting $1 million and then bringing in the state police and nothing to see here. Thanks for the rant time. Be well.
I like that idea. I don't know if this is what you were suggesting, but it is interesting that instead of cutting police budgets, you know, there's this move around the country to defund the police. And they say they want to transfer that money over to other things, social services. But you can't cut the police budgets. Keep the police budgets whole. Go cut the rest of state government. Take that money and invest that in having more social services go with the police, if you want, or in place of the police. Because the police are going to work harder the more this stuff goes on.
Hey, Todd, I just got a great T-shirt in the mail this afternoon. It says on it, I'd rather have COVID-19 than Biden 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know what BLM stands for?
Mm.
Biden likes miners. That's Hunter, that is.
I assume that means coal miners. Because, he makes that big play for the energy industry in Pennsylvania. 860-522-9842, rant line number, 860-751-4698. We take the rant line calls, mix in the live calls, have ourselves a gay old time.
Oh, my wolves begin to howl, wake me up, the time is now.
Good evening. Yes, we're doing our rant line. We mix the rants in with the live phone calls. Rick Thomaston, hi, Rick.
Hey, Todd, how you doing today?
What's up?
So, you know, I was calling about the COVID numbers. And, you know, so every week I look at the governor's numbers that he posts. And, you know, I think right now we're 3,700 confirmed cases in Connecticut. But in his post that he puts on his website now, you can click under and it shows how many people died in nursing homes and assisted living centers. So if you do the math and you look at how many confirmed cases there are and you subtract out how many people died in nursing homes or assisted living centers, so we're assuming the very old and the very unhealthy, there's only 233 confirmed COVID deaths in 2020 in Connecticut. That's less than one a day. Now, on an average day, 109 people die every day. If you went back to 2019 and 2018, probably 108, 109 people die every single day from normal causes. So that's only less than 1% of the deaths in Connecticut outside of the nursing homes are from corona. And those are the numbers on the governor's web. Of course, he won't tell you that. He won't say that. No one in the news will tell you that, but that's all we've got to deal with right now. What do you think?
Yes, it's very, in terms of deaths, which is the best measure of the virus, it has not been a harmful virus outside of seniors. The attack on seniors has been pretty brutal, which when we look at it, we can say, okay, that was about the incompetence, the lack of imagination, the lack of leadership at the beginning. Not just Jolly Ned, but Cuomo, and everybody was flat-footed and just stood still and watched while the virus came in and did destruction. And if you read the report, there was a great story in The Current on the ramifications of their behavior. I think it came out on Sunday. And it basically highlighted how the governor was out there worried about the wrong thing. He was worried about the hospital beds. And he was actually looking around nursing homes for beds he could take to turn over to the emergency room shortage, you know. So they got it totally wrong, did everything wrong.
So right now we're closing schools, we're closing this, we're closing that. We're still living in this unbelievably subverted life that we're living in right now for less than 1% of the normal death rate. It's unbelievable. And that is not in the news today. No one is talking about that.
And there's also never been an honest conversation about whether this is the right way to be responding. Everybody is required to keep their mouths shut, except for us here on WTIC. 860-522-9842. We'll play some more rants and all that kind of stuff. Coming up on WTIC. Oh, it's WTIC. Yes. Thanks so much for being here. We'll continue our rants. We'll continue with phone calls in just a few minutes. Joining us right now, though, Bishop John Selders. He is the Assistant Dean of Students at Trinity College. He is the co-founder of what is it, Moral Monday? I don't have it written down in front of me.
Moral Monday, Connecticut. Or Moral Monday, CT.
Moral Monday, CT. John, what's going on? Did you watch the debate last night?
I did. I did watch the debate.
Any thoughts you want to share?
Well, sure. I thought it was, for what I expected, I thought it was quite the more civil conversation about issues. There was some dust up and all, but I thought, you know, overall, now my standards have been lowered over these last number of years, so I'll say that. But I thought it was a more civil conversation, a more civil debate, as it were.
You know, I heard somebody saying that, a reporter saying that when Trump went back into his green room after that first debate, not last night, but the one a couple of weeks ago, that he thought he had done really well in that first debate. And as a performer, it's I'm sure you've had this experience where you think you're doing a really great job. You're hitting out of the park and you're doing all the things you want to be doing. And then you go listen to the tape or you get feedback and everybody's telling you the opposite. And you say, wow, what happened? But I hear it often. I think I did a great show and I'll listen for a few minutes to the air check. And it's totally different from what I perceived. And I thought that was kind of interesting that Trump thought because he was doing such great combat in the first debate that was a good thing, that he was defending himself well, and he didn't realize what the implications of that might have been for viewers. And last night was different. It was calmer, and he was that. I think that two-minute rule worked well for the debate and for both the debaters. They both got their private time to be able to deliver a message.
Absolutely. And I think in many instances, what works in one format or one setting and one way of communicating doesn't read the same in another format in another setting. And in a debate style, the current president is not a politician. He doesn't have the chops of a traditional debater. And I would also say, on the other side, the former vice president is also, he will kind of fly off into his own kind of rantations,
yes,
if I could use that term. And so I think you have these two older men who are kind of set in their way. They're now being required to communicate to millions and millions of people that in a certain kind of way, in a certain kind of form. And I think both of them it's a challenge to their skill sets to drive on that avenue in those lanes, if I could say that, use that metaphor. It's quite an interesting experience to watch them both struggle with what I know it has to be somewhat different for her.
I had another thought along those lines that Donald Trump's aggression, the way he controls the stage because he's always on the attack, actually worked to Joe Biden's benefit because it confined Biden and he wasn't able to blunder the way he usually does. I think it kept him more on his guard and more focused on what his message was.
I think that may be true. And I could appreciate now as not a participant and not somebody who understands a little bit about the sausage making, but just as, you know, someone viewing, you know, a participant in this conversation, that actually what we heard were some larger ideas and the delineation, you know, the line where there are differences and we could draw our own conclusions. I, like others, would say, I don't know if either side made any new friends, but I think we did hear the stark contrast of the two. And for that, I have to say I was appreciative of the experience.
Well, that's good to hear. Any other compliments you want to give them?
No, after that, it goes downhill after that. It goes downhill after that. I think for the most part, they covered no new ground. Secondarily, I think in much of the two, they are confined. I like that term you used, by the way, in their own trappings, if you will. And I'm about done. I'm ready to go vote. How about that? I'm ready to go vote.
Well, do it. Don't hesitate.
That's right.
All right,
John.
Right. Thank you, sir.
All righty. Talk to you soon.
All righty. Thanks so much. Good to talk with you. Bishop John Selders, Assistant Dean of Students at Trinity College and co-founder of Moral Monday CT. 860-522-9842. We'll play some more rant line calls coming up. All right, let's get back to the rant line calls. A ton of them still to get through.
This is Bob from an undisclosed location. I would very much like to see some chrome bracelets on Schumer, Feinstein, maybe Blumenthal. We need to have a rule of law, and if what the Bidens are accused of, we need some arrests just for the American people to believe that nobody's above it. Nobody's above the law. Have a good day.
Okay.
Yeah, Todd, my thing for today, if you want to call it a rant, that's fine. This is all nothing but a cooked up bunch of fake news about Hunter and Joe Biden. All it is the White House is a bunch of a band of serious criminals, and what they do is they try to turn around and plant some fake news like this laptop and Giuliani, who you know you can't believe. It's the party that cried wolf. No one believes a word that they say anymore. They got caught with Benghazi. Hillary did nothing wrong. They got caught with unmasking. There was no illegal unmasking. It's because 16 members of the Trump campaign were talking to Russians. They got caught with Hillary's emails. Nothing was done wrong by her whatsoever. It is the party that cried wolf. You can never believe for the rest of your life a single word that the Republican Party says, period.
I love these calls because it shows what happens when the downside of politics being a team sport. You're just rooting for your team. Everything the Republicans do is evil, according to the Trump hater. Never to be trusted again. As if there's something unique about Republicans in the way politics works, and as if politics are the Republicans are the root of all evil. Crazy stuff. 860-522-9842. Jim Manchester. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Todd. No one has done more for the black community than Donald Trump, except possibly Abraham Lincoln.
That was the line again last night from the president.
That was, I don't know if you, I've been listening to the show. Maybe you guys have been talking about that. But that was the most amazing thing. I mean, I'm glad he conceded that there's a possibility that the man that freed the slaves may have done a little bit more for the black community than him. I, you know, it's nice of him to make room for that possibility. But I thought that was, I don't know, I had to laugh out loud on that one.
But, you know, the race argument is laughable in this country anyway. The perception of Democrats as somehow being the friends of minorities is laughable. That flies in the obvious face of Democrats as the owners and operators of urban America, where a large percentage of minorities live and are stuck in permanent poverty. I mean, why don't we laugh about the serious stuff that is so ridiculous in terms of how it's portrayed?
Well, I laughed about it because it was ridiculous, and I agree with you. The race issue is just an issue that the media brings up. There's no real race issue out here. The only race issue is out there is the media stirring it up and getting people going. You go to those black.
But the media is only stirring up what the Democrats want stirred up, and that is to create the false impression all the time that somehow they are the friends of blacks and other minorities, when in fact they are the ones who supervise bad schools. They are the ones whose unions control the inability to fire cops who hurt the people they're supposed to protect. I mean, the obvious ridiculousness that does not get covered is mind-boggling.
Well, the chicken or the egg, you know, who creates what? But I can tell you this, it's all baloney. And, you know, I know so many people, and I'm sure you do yourself, and we know people that are, you said gentlemen on that's on your show quite often. I mean, the races get along fine until the media stirs it up and starts making it that way. And that's the name of the game. And I think the Democrats certainly use that to their advantage, whether they create it or the media creates it, who knows who starts it, but it's definitely out there. And I thought it was comical. You know, Trump, I just thought it was funny that Trump said that. It was just, yeah, Trump's not a racist, but I thought it was funny how he just has to exaggerate things and go way beyond the bounds of anything. It's comical.
Well, that's Thank you, Jim. That's what I like about him doing that, is because, okay, now we're going into the land of overstatement. How about the overstatement of the Democrats somehow being the friend of anybody who's struggling with poverty? Every policy they make is designed to institutionalize poverty. Well, let me put it this way. There's an expression, what you invest in, you get more of. If you spend money on poverty, you get more poverty. If you spend money on the war on drugs, you get more war and more drugs.
Hi, this is Jim from Maryland. I noticed today Connie Chung was on CNN talking about how she's on the other side of the fence now, and she's backing Joe Biden. And then she's a spokesperson for women and the people of the Chinese persuasion. But I noticed that she wasn't on that march with Nancy Pelosi in Chinatown the day she was saying to come down here, everything is safe. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. 860-522-9842, Joe in Newington. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Todd. How are you? This is the occasional moderate caller. I always appreciate you taking my call. And
well, thank you.
I just have to laugh a little bit, not obviously not at you, just the various callers, how, you know, Democrats do control the urban population, but then on the other side of the coin, we have our president saying that he's protecting our suburbs by not letting low-income housing in. So I guess they really have nowhere else to go, judging by the way both sides are talking. So I just find it pretty interesting and hypocritical.
So you're saying you think that's the desire of Democrats to really get rid of the boundaries between municipalities. You see that as a silly issue to fight?
No, I don't see them getting rid of the boundaries. I would just like more opportunities on both sides. And I think both sides talk out of, as usual, both sides out of their mouth, and I don't trust either one of them.
Well, I hear you on that, but this is very dangerous, I think, what the left wants to do. That is, they want, since they have created unaffordable, unsustainable areas in urban areas, in cities, they want to start invading the coffers of the suburbs and basically claim the suburbs are illegitimate because their housing rules make their homes inexpensive. This is an attack on the fabric of America and the fabric of our communities. And I don't see anything, I don't see anything to laugh about there. All right, that's it for us today. Stay tuned. We're going to replay our Michael Harrison Hour during After 6. Have a great weekend, and I will see you Monday at 3 here on WTIC.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!